Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to go right into understanding, and I want to say it right this time, $700 trillion of worldwide debt. That's what exists, $700 trillion of worldwide debt, because we're going to talk about the state of the economy now and where we're going. Some of the reports are, what we're talking about, is that pension plans, that people that work 30, 40 years as police officers, teachers, and this type of thing, that your pension may be going away based on some of the things that we're hearing about the finances and the economy and where we are. But first, let's get a real look. We're going to listen to Rick Joyner speaking specifically about what the Lord showed him about where we are and where we're going with Jim Baker. Let's take a look.
So here, if there is going to be a turning, if there is going to be a repentance and a turning back to God in our country, I think God's going to give us a lot more time and things are going to be better than ever.
In spite of the way, if we turn back to God,
yeah, I mean, He can fix things. There's some ways that we're in an impossible situation in the natural. I think it's four years ago. What was it? The International Monetary Fund estimated our debt at over $60 trillion, a real debt. Then they came back a short time later, said it's over $102 trillion, and now it's gone way up. They said, one of the things they said, if you taxed Americans 100%, they couldn't pay this. There's no way this can be paid. You know, so there are things that have got to give. The value of all the world's goods put together, right down to everybody's rings and shoes and everything, was estimated to be about $350 trillion. Well, world debt's over $700 trillion. So, I mean, we're upside down. You know, the world is in default.
Yes.
It really is. And, but, you know, all of this is nothing for God to pay. I mean, even the whole world's a speck of dust in His universe.
Yeah.
You know, and, but if we turn back to God, He will heal us.
Yes.
And we have a purpose and a destiny.
Yes.
We are in Scripture. America is in Scripture. And we have a purpose and we have a destiny that I don't think we've yet fulfilled, but it's going to take an absolute miracle on the level of the Red Sea parting for us to get out of the place we boxed ourselves into. But that's what Jubilee is.
Yeah.
We may get back to the point where it's, okay, forgive all debt, forgive. We can't do this. We can't do this. Just everybody's back to zero. Let's start again. And this has happened in a number of countries.
So God really had a good idea.
Yeah.
With Jubilee.
Absolutely.
It's the only way out for this. It's the only way out.
And he not only everybody has their debt released, but they get their inheritances back.
Mm.
It's a restoration of inheritances. But we now one point on God's judgment. We as a nation can't get away with things other nations get away with. And we've been trying to do things like other nations. When the Lord's, he said to those, some of the most righteous cities in Israel, Sodom is going to have it better in the judgment than you. And if the miracles had been done there that were done in you, Sodom would have repented and lasted until today. They would still be here. He said, they're going to have it easier in the judgment than you are. Why? Because the level of judgment is not just based on the level of evil, but it's based on the level of light that is rejected. The Lord had come to Israel. He had come to those righteous cities. They didn't repent. Look at what they reject. Now look at what America's reject. Look at the light we've been given,
right,
that we've had.
Yes.
And look how far we've fallen.
Wow.
Look at the depravity of what's being manifested in Planned Parenthood and all these other things. And we're flaunting perversion.
Flaunting.
Our nation, our government is not just celebrating perversion. That God not only calls sin, but an abomination.
Yes.
And we're not going to get away with it. But I see signs of awakening, repenting, and turning back to God.
There it is.
It's just, you think about that. I mean, if you added up all the gold, including your rings and every piece of value that you have on the face of the earth, it comes to about $300 trillion, but there's $700 trillion of debt in the world right now. Crisis has come into the world. Of course, you know, God's all about jubilee and rebooting, resetting, and replenishing, but we have to turn to God in the context of that. But we're about to hear very specifically from Chris Martinson about what is the economic broadcast for the world, for America. Even so many people right now, this is what I heard the Lord speak to me the other day, is people who don't have a pension pay attention. So many people are trusting in their money, in their retirement, in their 401k, and their union retirement pensions. But what if that went away? What if it just disappeared?
Chris Martinson of peakprosperity.com is probably the guy I have been looking for probably 20 years, 15 years at least, who sees the world in a similar way that I do, and can actually explain it, and explain what is coming, explain why it's coming, how it's coming, and possibly what it looks like on the other side. He's been on with us a couple of times, but because of contracts, he couldn't. And so we figured out a way to get him into a contract with us. And we're grateful that he is with us. And I have big plans for him to be able to teach us exactly how this all works and what possibly is coming and how we should and what we should be aware of. Welcome to the program, Chris. How are you, sir?
Why, Glenn, I'm doing very well. Thank you for that kind introduction.
Chris, tell me, I was watching the stock market on election night, and it cratered almost 1,000 points. And then it turned around, and it took off. Can you tell me, this makes me really nervous because nothing has changed. It's all just all on speculation, and it's already a giant bubble. Can you tell me, is there any good news here happening? Is this all bad? What is this?
Well, you know, Glenn, I get to hobnob with a lot of people who've been in, say, running hedge funds for 30 years. And the more experienced people have in this so-called market we have right now, the more confused they are. And I think to understand this market, what we have to do is step away from the signals that the prices are trying to send us and back up and note that the world's central banks have put $16 trillion into the punch bowl. And that's going to create a lot of money sloshing around looking for things to do. So what we saw on election night is very concerning because it saw money running away from the stock market, the U.S. stock market, in a big, big way, and then stampeding back in a big, big way. Those are not healthy signs of a healthy market, and I will lay the blame for such weird conditions at the feet of the central banks.
So
that's something we have to understand.
I didn't realize that we were already at $16 trillion. That is, they don't call it printing. They call it quantitative easing. But in the old days, if they would have done exactly what they did, they would have had to print this money, and it's $16 trillion now?
Yes, that's 16 additional trillion on top of what the central banks already had printed out of thin air, as it were, or electronically created.
Holy cow. So there's rumor that the Fed is going to, they're talking about raising interest rates. And the reason why, and tell me if this is the right explanation, the reason why the Fed increases interest rates is to suck some of that money back in so it can be destroyed. So inflation happens because there's too much money out there chasing too few goods. And so you raise the interest rates, which sucks that money back into the bank, back to the Fed. They destroy that money. Is there any interest rate that you can think of that wouldn't collapse the economy that could draw this money back in?
No, it's really hard at this point. So here's where we are. The Fed is truly between a rock and a hard place. So here's the rock. The rock in this story is if they drive interest rates lower, like Europe has done, like Japan has done, endowments, pension plans, which are already hemorrhaging, big story there about what's happening to pension plans, the Dallas police pension, California state pension, you name it. Those are just dying on the vine here. So any, the rock is lower interest rates. Those are going to kill savers. It's going to kill people on fixed incomes. It already is. That's a bad place to be.
Okay, stop.
The damage is already being done day by day there.
Stop, stop, stop. Why is that happening? Why is that damage being done to savers and the pensions? Why is that happening?
Well, it's happening because the Fed had this idea that if it made interest rates down 1% or 0%, that they could rescue the credit markets, which is a fancy way of saying make sure the big banks have healthy earnings incomes. So they did that. But so far, savers, because remember you used to get 5% on your savings account, like if you had money in the bank, say you got 5% just because it was in the bank. Now you get what, a 0.5% on a six-month CD, something like that. Well, what happened? Where did that 5% go? What happened to it? Well, that was $1 trillion of interest income that has not gone to savers. But where did it go? Because, see, the Fed is a distributor. It's not – it doesn't create anything. It distributes. So it drove interest rates down, and it crushed your savings account and my savings account's interest income, so we didn't get it. Well, who got it? Oh, the banks got it because they make the money on – having a steeper yield curve, as they say, or interest rates driven down. That really helped the big banks, didn't help savers. So that's also really crushed pension plans because they tend to keep a lot of their money in bonds. They're getting 0% on those bonds. They're expecting, requiring, needing, Glenn, to get 7 or 8% just to meet their obligations.
Oh my gosh.
They're not getting it. And every day that they have to live with 0% on their bond portfolio is another day closer to death for those
So plans. When people hear about the bond market, because I've heard this for a long time, that the bond market is about to crash, blah, 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 the bond market, the bond market. What you're really saying is anybody, especially in a union, anybody who has had their money in some sort of a mutual fund or bonds, and they're getting, they were getting the, their retirement from that investment, teachers, unions, even some of our 401ks, that's all going away because that, that could collapse. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. So if we can just take one example, Chicago, poorly run, terrible, you know, they gave away way too much, you know, let's not get into why they got into so much trouble, but they had, their plans are so underfunded that the statistic I heard is that to just make the firemen's pension in Chicago whole, meaning this could pay out all of the pension promises it's made to already retired and soon to be retired firemen in Chicago, they would have to put a one-time $50,000 per household tax in order to make that one plan solvent.
Oh my God.
And of course, they're not doing that. They can't do that, so nobody talks about it. But that, when we don't talk about these things, they don't go away. So we get to experience them as part of the political upheavals that we're seeing, which are people saying, hey, you've sucked all the economic oxygen away from me, and it hurts. And so, while they were doing that, it went to a very tiny minority, you know, who are well-connected in this story.
So, Chris, what I'm concerned about, and I think if people understand what is happening and you understand, okay, the bond market goes down. Most people hear, oh, well, that's something about Wall Street. I don't really care because I'm not connected. Well, yes, you are. On bonds and mutual funds, most of us are directly connected to those, especially in retirement. When that happens, who is in charge and what we do and how we hold our nation together is really important. How do we hold a nation together? First of all, is there a way out to make that work? And B, if it doesn't work, how do we hold a society together that feels now that they've had their retirement and their life savings stolen from them?
Well, the first part is until and unless you recognize the problem exists, you can't get started on talking about what you might do about it. This is a giant issue that's in front of everybody's eyes. I talk to people who actually run big pension plans. They're screaming about it. You know, it just doesn't have traction. Politicians don't want to talk about it. It's too uncomfortable. But for people who are thinking, oh, well, if that happens, I don't have a public pension, to those people, I would say, well, you know somebody who does, right? This affects every community. It's going to affect all of us. And
every teacher, every firefighter, every police officer, everybody. Everybody who's in public service. And half of the nation is now in public service.
It's a very big number. And so you get to part two, which is, well, what happens when, not if, but when we experience those losses? And the issue is, can we hold the nation together? Well, what you're hinting at there, which we all saw in the aftermath of this most recent election, there are real social consequences when you have people who have been economically marginalized or, in this case, damaged. It's a very real thing. So to some people, I've said, Chris, this election was really tough. I can't imagine it being any worse. And I say, oh my gosh, if you think this is the high watermark of our national distress, come look at these charts with me, because these charts say we're just getting started.
When does this hit, Chris?
Well, I think there's no tip, no map function. It hits when people finally recognize that it's a real issue. And we know it's a real issue, but critical mass of people are starting to catch on to that. Notice that in Dallas, I mentioned it already, but the Dallas Police Retirement Fund is so underfunded that police there are retiring as soon as they can and taking their lump sum distributions because they know it won't be there. And every time somebody does that, of course, it hurts that pension a little more, but it's the only sane thing a retiring person could do, would be to do that. It's already circling the drain. And just that one pension alone, if they had to try and make it whole, will break the budget of Dallas. And so if they try and make it, so then Dallas has to choose. Are we going to fix our bridges? Are we going to keep our schools open? Or are we going to pay off retired police officers? And that's just the police officers' pension.
You know how they're going to choose. And then all those people have worked their whole lives with a promise of something that was never, no one was ever able. These unions and the politicians colluded and lied and knew if they would sit down with an actuary that none of these things would actually happen, but they all just went along with it because it was politically expedient for them.
That's exactly right, Glenn. And it is a tragedy that's coming, but it's right in our faces. And of course, the thing that you touched on there, I think, is the most important, which is that sense of injustice. When people have been openly lied to, you've broken that social contract on a number of levels, and then why should they stick to the rest of the social contract?
That's
really what's at stake here. It's really important.
This is amazing. So officers, police officers in Dallas are saying, I want cash from our retirement. They want to pull it out. Why? If it stays in the pensions, based on what he's saying, it will just spread out. It'll be enough money. And that's what people will start doing. Of course, that actually facilitates even a faster crash. And then you have the devaluing of money as well. But listen, this is shocking, but what we've been talking about prophetically, now we're actually seeing the analyzers come and say, this is what it is.
Yeah.
That, the question is, when will this crisis happen? When will this economic reality hit and pensions begin to fade? Well, it's happening now. He says they're just not getting traction. The people that run pensions, they're not getting traction, which means they're telling people and they're not listening.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about it.
And so we have a day of reckoning coming in the context of that. But let's just continue on listening to Chris Martinson as he's talking specifically about where we are economically in America. Let's take a look.
We're back with Chris Martinson from peakprosperity.com. A guy who is we're going to be working with a lot here to try to explain what's coming and what's happening so you are prepared. And as you start to see what he lays out, you'll understand why I have been so stressed in the last few years. And I hope not to pass that stress on to you by giving you some things that you can actually do with Chris. Now, Chris, I want to ask one thing that I don't think I'm alone in. I asked you, when does this hit? And you said, well, when everybody finds out about it, that's when it crashes. And I thought to myself, then why the hell are you on radio telling everybody about this? Let's just keep this to ourselves.
Oh, I wish we could, but it does have a math function all on its own. It is running, and the pensions are running out. That's just one side of this story, but the larger piece, Glenn, when I back up, is I say, look, here's the larger story that's very difficult to explain. It confronts a lot of belief systems. It makes people very unhappy. But it's this. We can't have infinite growth on a finite planet. You know, you run into limits sooner or later, and people have figured that out locally with maybe water in California, or, you know, there's no more soil to plow because it's all in use in Indiana, or whatever the story is. But we have an economic model that's been growing and growing and growing, and now the world is in competition, and this is the larger tapestry that I think your audience really deserves to know, which is, look, the United States is not alone in the world. There's now China over there. We've got Europe. We've got India coming on board. Everybody's kind of looking for the same resources that exist out there. So that's a grand game of chess that's going to be playing out. And I don't say that to make people anxious. I say that because if you have that information and, here's the important and you take actions to make your life more resilient and do something, then that's positive.
So
if all you know is stuff that makes you upset, then you're just anxious, and that's no good at all.
Right, and that's why I've wanted to work with you, because I'm tired of hearing, first of all, nobody can explain this stuff, and you do a great job of explaining it. And second of all, nobody has an answer for the average person. So let's go back to the bonds for a second. If I'm an average guy, I've been a police officer my whole life, and I'm going to retire in the next 5 years, do I take my retirement right now?
Absolutely.
And I do it in a lump sum?
Yes.
Even though that is, I mean, you have that right to do it, but you're going to collapse it even faster.
Well, your choice includes, you know, this is just, again, I'm not saying this is an ideal situation, but for you, the individual, the only sane way to play the game is either you can take the money out and receive some benefit from it, or everybody takes the, you know, gets nothing from it eventually. So it's just how it plays out, and, you know, none are so poor as those who only have money. So my story is never just about the money. That this resilience story has to go well beyond into something I heard you talk about just before we went to the break, which was your social capital, who you know and how well you know them, going to be a very important determinant, and there's a lot of steps people can take to make their lives more resilient. But for now, in the way the money system is set up, you absolutely want to do everything you can to protect your wealth as much as possible.
How fragile, you know, I thought that this market in this country was much more fragile than it is. I've been saying this since 2004 or six, that this, you know, first the housing bubble, and I thought 2008 would have been the big one, and I think it would have been had we not bailed it out with TARP and everything else. I think now we've made things much worse by all the bailouts and all the bogus money and everything else. Is the next burst of the bubble as bad as I think it will be? Or is there another TARP that is will buy us some more time? I'm going to come back with your answer here in just a second. Chris Martinson from peakprosperity.com, who is now a member of our team, a guy who I have literally been looking for, a guy like this for at least 15 years, a guy that sees the world in the same way that I do, can explain it, and also can give us options of what do you do about that. And it's taken us a while to be able to work out a deal so he could come on because he had complex contracts. But we are so thrilled that he's a part of our team now. We're going to hopefully sit down soon, Chris, and work out some things to get you very involved in glenbeck.com and the Glenn Beck Radio Show to be able to teach some of these things. Because I think people will understand why I'm so concerned and stressed out, because nobody is explaining this stuff to them in a way they can understand. And I think people on the business shows on TV, correct me if I'm wrong, are living an absolute illusion or delusion.
No correction necessary. It's a self-delusion. It's astonishing. And here's the funny part about this, Glenn. You know, when I talk with some of these people, they're public. They have the same public and private positions, right? Publicly, they say what they say. I get them behind closed doors and I say, do you really believe that, or how concerned are you? And some of these people, some of the wealthiest people I know, have jets ready to take them to literally bunkers in Switzerland.
Can I tell you something, Chris? I find it reprehensible. I can't tell you how many people who are on television saying everything is fine have said to me off air, I can't say this, Glenn, but keep saying it. The same thing. I've got a Gulfstream ready to go. Really? Well, thanks a lot. You're telling us something opposite of what you're doing. And they believe that if they say this, then people will panic and it will be over a lot faster. And I think they never say this, but I think they think there's more money to be taken off of the table.
I think that's part of it. There's a lot of self-interest. Can I tell you one of my most disappointing moments in a person's career is what I call the retirement speech. Say a senator, finally on the retirement day, they tell you everything they never said while they were actually in a position to do anything about it. And then I don't care anymore. I don't care if you tell me how far off the rails the country has gone now that you're retiring. What a weak way to go out. Come on.
You know? So, Chris, the bubble that I think was coming in 2008, I started talking about an 04-06, and it was the housing bubble. And I said, it's going to be Great Depression style. And it turns out it wasn't. I didn't figure in TARP. Now, I think what we've done because of TARP and money printing and everything else, I personally think it is Western world depression, or even worse, a game-changing kind of scenario. A, do you agree with that? And B, what does it look like? And C, is there a TARP or is there something that changes that I don't see?
Absolutely, I agree with the position. I was a very vocal critic of all the bailouts, in particular bailing out places like Goldman Sachs at 100 cents on the dollar for their bad bets with AIG, Citigroup. These were badly run organizations that needed and deserved to go out of business. They didn't. They were rescued. And because of that, Glenn, I think that was an opportunity to take a painful fall from a ladder, but we were four rungs up. Now, because the Federal Reserve and TARP and all the bailouts, what we've gotten is we're about 20 rungs up the same ladder now. Much more painful fall, and may even be worse than that. So the next crisis is going to be bad, and they're going to fight it tooth and nail because they believe in their heart of hearts that it could be a lights-out crisis if they don't. And I understand how they got there. Remember, 2008, we had to wait a year and a half when Hank Paulson's memoirs came out and Mervyn King, then the Bank of England governor. They came out and said, guys, we were like 3 or 4 hours from a systemic banking collapse that could have wiped the world out. That's what they were thinking, right? So what do you think they're thinking today when everything that was in place then is still in place but larger? Do we have fewer derivatives? Is sovereign debt lower? All of this, no, is the housing bubble, where is it? It's right back where it was. So we're,
or worse.
What they did is they pumped the credit markets up, and it was a double fingers crossed moment. They were saying, please, growth, please, please, will growth come and bail us out? Didn't come. And that's where we are at this awkward moment of the Fed saying, we think we need to raise rates. They're like, guys, too little, too late, and you're going to do it into a weakening environment, not a strengthening environment. Never been done before. Good luck with that.
Does it require a massive shock? Does it require an event, or could this just happen?
Well, it's a very complex system, so it could be either. It could be the German finance minister says something wrong and some trading algorithm picks it up and starts the ball rolling. Who knows? You know, we've seen the signs, Glenn, where the market has these really unstable moments. So I watched this market very closely. I remember a year ago in August, when the Chinese currency devalued by 3%, that was the day we had the Dow down another 1,000% in response. It was like, wait, what? The Chinese currency went down 3%? Now the U.S. stock market's falling like a stone? That level of that's the kind of market we have now. It's kind of unstable, and I think that's why there's so much fear out there, particularly amongst, Glenn, the people I know these markets best. They're the ones who happen to have the Gulf Stream spooled up and ready to go, as it were.
What does it mean for the average person, Chris, and how do we prepare?
So the average person really has to have the context. Look, if you don't know what's happening or why, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be confused. You won't know what to do. You need to have a plan before you need the plan. So what I advise people to do is first get the context, get educated. It's not that hard. But you're not going to get it off of CNBC. You're not going to get it out of the Wall Street Journal. So you've got to get the context, see what's happening, and then decide for yourself what steps you're going to take. Because in my world, Glenn, that we mentioned it once, but if I'm feeling anxiety or I'm feeling fear, it's because my thoughts and my actions aren't aligned, and fear lives in the gap. So close the gap. You can't change what you know, so change your actions. And there's lots of things people can do to secure their finances and to make themselves more resilient and to just begin to understand that we're going to have to be a little bit more responsible for our futures than maybe we have been up to this point. But I think that's a good thing. And people can find a lot more fulfillment and purpose and a higher quality of life. Nothing that would surprise my great-grandfather. He'd be like, yeah, you're living how people have always lived.
Yeah,
a little bit closer and in connection.
So then tell me, what do you do? I mean, you know, do I have cash? Do I have gold? Do I get out of the stock market? Do I leave it in and just try to, you know, if I'm younger, and leave it in and weather this storm? Will I be completely wiped out? Do I put it all in gold and, you know, whiskey? What do you... Because when I get to this point and I talk to financial people, they all say, well, Glenn, if you really believe that there's a massive Great Depression meltdown and there's a possibility that the American dollar goes, you know, then I can't help you. There's no scenario for that. Well, I hope the American dollar doesn't go, but I think that's kind of the way we're going. We're going towards a one world currency, one world kind of, or at least a Western world digit over an actual currency, it seems. What do I do?
Well, you know, everybody's got a slightly different story. So let me tell you what I did. I took almost all of my money out of the stock market, out of the bond markets. I have a pretty good chunk in gold and silver at this point in time. Two words. I own them for separate reasons. And I own my home free and clear because I had the capability to do that. I have a lot of cash built up, and I'm waiting. And I have a list of things that I would really like to own at some point, because my model, the thing I believe is going to happen, there will be another crisis. The Federal Reserve will overreact. They're going to. You ask, do they have another arrow in their quiver? Sure they do. It's a quantitative easing for Main Street. You'll recognize it as either a complete tax holiday courtesy of the Treasury Department, which the Fed funds with freshly printed money, or maybe it's a check that shows up in your bank account straight from the Fed. I don't know. But money comes to us, and that's when I've told my people, that's when you run. You do not walk. You run to buy the things that are on your plan, the things that you've identified.
It so lines up with what God's been saying prophetically that was going to take place. And the Lord showed me in a vision all the paper money being removed from use, and all of a sudden things digitizing. And he's sitting here saying, as he's talking to
Chris,
he's saying, you know, we're going towards a one world digital economy. And then he says, well, maybe a Western, or, well, that sounds like the Amero, exactly what Hillary Clinton was saying in the debate when her speeches came out, according to WikiLeaks, that she was saying to Goldman Sachs or whoever that was, saying that we need like a one hemisphere, like North America, South America, like the Amero, Canada, all one economy. But when things start crashing, things start shifting and moving. There's one thing about wars and one thing about economies. When they crash and things begin to happen, borders change. Mm-hmm. Things happen like Declaration of Independence and new constitutions and, you know, big things start shifting. I think about this too, that you need to prepare. I mean, obviously, we're not giving you any financial advice, and neither is any part of this program. Mm-hmm. But you can actually prepare, and one important way is to prepare personally and spiritually. And we have a gift for you. It's called Prudent Preparation. If you sign up today, right now, for the Torch newsletter, you can go to VFNTV.com. Upper right-hand corner, you have where it says sign up for the Torch newsletter. We will send you immediately, once you sign up, Prudent Preparation. And you need to be prepared. And it seems like the common aspect of being prepared is you've got to have 90 days. Mm-hmm. Just 90 days where you can just stay home, relax. You probably won't be watching TV, I don't know. But whatever it is, but you just got to be able to chill and just be calm. It's like waiting for the hurricane to blow over, because so many people are not listening. You know, the scripture says, you know, a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, and a fool keeps going and suffers for it. there's a lot of fools right now that are not listening. And you want to be somebody that's listening so you can be prepared. This storm is not meant for God's people. This is, has nothing to do with harming those that are the Lord's. But it's about shaking the earth and teaching us, you know, God exists and teaching righteousness to the world. And so we're hearing each of these words, and it lines specifically up. If we're $700 trillion in debt for the world, and if we took all of our value, our money, our rings, everything that we had, and added it up, and it's like $300 trillion, we owe more than exist on the face of the earth. One particular person was quoted, and we got to go, is that he said, if America had all the gold that existed in the world, just the gold, and that's all we had, we could not continue in the lifestyle we have because we're living beyond the value of gold. We're a blessed nation. I want to pray for you right now that God would just give you wisdom in these things and stay connected to VFN TV and VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Father God, we love you. We thank you, God, that you're letting us know. We pray for each of these teachers and law enforcement officers and those that have labored as civil servants, Lord God, and soldiers, Lord, that their money, they would have a future, God, and you give them wisdom about what to do and when to do it, Father God, and that you would just assure them of your perfect peace. Outside of everything that's happening in the natural, we have your kingdom, and we have you in our hearts and your kingdom, that we have a perfect peace that passes all understanding, God. And we thank you that you're raising up new news sources that has truth, Father God, that truly cares, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless. Thanks so much for joining us.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.